Welcome to Your Typical Shonen Protagonist. He's Kai, I'm Kelf, and welcome to Noragami Part 2. First off, Kai, how you doing?
I'm great. Excited to talk about Noragami Season 2 and let the people know that this is a good series and that they should watch it.
Yes, buy the merch. Tell them we want Season 3. That's the real answer.
Yes, drive sales so we can get Season 3. Please, I will bake you a donut.
Bruh, this is going to be the one that takes off, and you'll be like having to open up a Krispy Kreme franchise just to fulfill this.
I will be happy to do it, and you'll get the best, worst donuts you've ever had.
Tragic. So off the top, the scope of this week's part is we're talking about Noragami Season 2, which is, you know, that and Season 1 is like, that's the entirety of the anime. So, big spoiler warning off the top, if you have not seen Season 2 or Season 1, big old heads up, don't want to spook you with this stuff, but, you know, we're gonna be talking about it. Nothing too in-depth, but we're gonna be having a casual conversation about this, so be warned.
Yes, be warned and be informed of what is going on.
Vote November 3rd if you're in the States. That's important.
Yes, do it.
Anyways, PSA out of the way. So we're talking Noragami Season 2, and I want to go ahead and say this for my own personal sake, is that the OP for Season 2, for me, sort of bled into the OP for Season 1. They're both unique songs, right? They're both individual songs. They're not the same in any way, other than the genre. But while they are both bangers, it didn't stick out to me as like the jam, you know. It fell off to me, and I've got a feeling like that's just me. What's your opinion of the OP from Season 1 to Season 2?
They both convey the same vein, I would say. They're both very much so intertwined, I would say. I like Hello Sleepwalkers, the first one, better.
Really?
I do. But this one, Arigato, is really good as well. I like them both. For me, it's really more so of the scenes that they switch out more than the music.
Yeah.
So I say they both fit pretty well, because it doesn't feel like it's a whole new thing. This no, literally does just feel like a Season 2, like a continuation to the first.
Totally. This feels like it is a good fit. It's not a drastic change. Because, like, for me, I'm looking at JoJo's themes as, like, the pinnacle of how do you do an intro that, like, fits the vibe of the rest of the season. And that's probably unrealistic, honestly, because every part is supposed to be different. It's supposed to feel different. So with the OP of this one, like, yeah, it's not supposed to be drastically different. You know, different and put on a different vibe. But for me, it didn't really stick out as unique to the other. Listen side by side, you're like, oh, that's a different song. Yeah, totally. But I feel like that fits in with the rest of the season for me. It's not that it's bad or wrong or incorrect, but it's more Noragami, right? That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a season that's more Noragami. This is what Season 2 is.
You're 100% right, I would say. And it's definitely not like the Narutos or the other shonens, that whereas like each intro is like crazy different than the previous, which I kind of like that as well. I kind of like how this feels like it's his own staple of an intro.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's get into this season. What's some stuff that stuck out to you? Because I've got a list here of like the things that I made note of. We'll go kind of chronologically, but we're not keeping to any sort of, you know, story beat by story beat thing. One of the big things with that you had talked about previously was Bishamon, like Bishamon in the story arc. And, you know, to that, at the beginning of the season, like episode 2, we find out about Bishamon and how she functions. And, you know, in season one, we find out all about this Yato kill the regalia, and we find out that the regalia was her regalia. And then in this season, we find that it wasn't one regalia. It was all of her regalia, other than Kazuma. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. That's far more drastic than, like, a regalia. Like, one versus, you know, 600. But she has a habit of picking up any lost soul that she finds and caring for it.
Yes, her compound is literally like a little city because of all the regalia that she adopts.
And this is trended from like the past her as well. The downfall of the Ma clan, because, you know, each god has a tendency to name their regalia with a certain, like a specific last syllable. So Ma, Yukine being Yato's regalia. The nay syllable is Yato's, like, common syllable for his regalia. So, you know, that's the sort of vibe. And Kazuma is the only remaining regalia of the Ma family because something tragically happened to them. So she has a habit of just picking up these, like, accruing a vast wealth of regalia. And in the beginning of season two, we find this regalia that's sort of, you know, planting flowers, and he's one of Bichamon's regalia, but he, you know, he's just sort of there, you know, sort of neglected, cared for. Hooray, Bichamon has 500 regalia, but she only calls on, like, the team, the squad.
Yeah, which makes all the other ones feel left out, and you really get to see that it's done more detriment. I don't want to say it's done more detriment than it does good, because she is saving these regalia's life. But there are definitely drawbacks of her kindness and her, what would you say, her benevolence, I would say. Her type of benevolence is almost more harm than good.
This is something we have a reckoning with later on in this season, is how she handles these regalia. How she handles the relationship between regalia and master, between dealing with the pain of their humanity up front, or dealing with the pain of their humanity behind closed doors, keeping up up front versus handling problems. That's something we really deal with. And at the opening of the season, we get the crux of the story. So Yukine finally makes a friend with one of Bishamon's sort of like super forgotten regalia, who's just a dude keeping a tree, keeping like the hopes up for a girl, like a human girl that comes and sees him every season, but always forgets him in the summer, you know, when she leaves for the summer. And it's been 30 years that he's been keeping up this hope, and he gets murked. Like, the main antagonist of this season just square murders him with these masked wolves. And the thing that really stuck out to me with this was the emotion. Like, he's getting all of these, you know, he's got a snake talking in his ear. The healer for Bishamon is telling him, hey, you're out here just waiting around for a woman who's never going to remember you. Why even live? Why go through it again? You're just better off dead. And the regalia just gives in, which kills me. The wolf jumps him from behind. He falls over on the ground. But instead of any fear or fight in him, it's just nothing. It's relegation to going to the other side, the far shore. It's like, my God, this is how we're opening the season. That's a way to do it right there.
Yeah, it's really sad, but also it goes to show you that what you're dealing with, it kind of sets the tone for this season. Well, it does set the tone.
Yeah.
Because we got to see, in season one, we got to see Yukine's whole experience as being a regalia. And like, from that point of view, you're like, okay, wow, this is happening. So this is going to be the worst of it. Like, this is going to be the acceptance. He's already got Blight. This is going to be the worst a regalia can feel. You know, this is going to be a trials and tribulations. And then we get hit with this season. It's like, nah, this isn't even close. And what I love about season two and season one, you get to see the, like, be a god, be a regalia, be a human, be a spirit. There is this trial and tribulation that you're going to go through, and just because you're a god doesn't mean you deal with it. Just because of regalia doesn't mean you don't deal with it, you know? And taking me to Bishamon's whole agony in it, that what she saw, what she was doing as a good deed, turned out to be horrible, because, like you said, all this stuff that was done in the dark to save Bishamon from, you know, like when they conducted the whole screening for who had blights or who had, I don't forget what they exactly called, but who had the discrepancies on their body to see who had been blighting Bishamon and to see what was going on. And that was done behind her back, and then they started all this other stuff, and then you find out later as it goes on that that's how Bishamon lost her first clan, is because there was so much infighting, which caused them all to transform into this big monster. And that's actually where Yato went ahead and murdered her regalia, but he murdered it to save her life, because her Templar, not her Templar.
Exemplar.
Her exemplar.
Yeah. Kazuma.
Yeah. Kazuma went and begged Yato, please, you know, in my clan, so Bishamon won't die, because that's one of the few ways to kill a god, is they can die from their regalia. And that was the first we got to see the different sides of Bishamon, which I really like Bishamon. I know you were talking about that earlier. You are not the biggest fan of Bishamon.
Well, no, I think both of our understandings of the story align really well. Like the follow through of Bishamon is really great. The moment, like, so we have this fight. She's got this petty conviction of, oh, it's, you know, it's not me. I'm not the one who set this up improperly, and my regalia, you know, got to infighting, and then that has, you know, become a blight on me, and everything's gone to shit. No, it's clearly Yato's fault. He's the one who murdered them. There's nothing I could do. So that's her conviction is, oh, I have to kill Yato because he's the bad guy. But she doesn't take any responsibility for the outcome and how we got here, right? Up until we go through the fight where she's been blighted and corrupted, and, you know, just rage blind. And then after the fight with Yato, she finally understands the situation. Kazuma in his death throes, tells her, it was me. I asked Yato to come do this because that's what needed to be done. You know, a couple millennia ago, I'm the one who made this call. And part of that was selfish, you know? Part of that was selfish, but I had to do what I had to do. And, you know, she finally understands that and accepts it, because she knew all along. She knew all along it wasn't Yato's fault, but that's the only thing that kept her going. All right, whatever. Cool. Now she's taking responsibility for this. So at the end of the fight, you know, we're talking, you know, I mean, give or take halfway, a little more than halfway through the season, when she is like killing the second phantom that's in her realm, and she calls on this like cane sword, this old regalia who hasn't been called on in like forever, but she's like, I need your help. She's like, I'm here for you. Like, that was tight. That was tight. That she knew the name of that regalia, even though she had like been with Bishamon so long. And that's probably one of the things that shows like the genuineness of Bishamon, in her actions. While she did not handle things the best, she was genuine in those. So when she kills that phantom, which had, you know, the souls of her regalia that could not have been saved, she's doing it because she must. And that was tight. That's when we round the corner, in my opinion, of Bishamon.
Yes. And I would agree. It was really kind of, like you said, interesting to see how she kind of had that change of heart, just kind of stepped up what she had to do when she accepted it. But I do want to talk about one other thing in the Bishamon series, and that is when we got to see our boy Yukine turn into a blessed vessel.
Bruh, that was scary. So Yato is going at it, and he's, you know, he's holding his own. He's got like the mild upper hand, but sort of corrupt berserker strength of Bishamon overpowers, right? So she's got her own sword, and it cuts square. They put Yato in like a containment field, so he can't call Yukine. But in that, right before like the final strike comes down, Yukine as a sword just jumps in front of the blade and gets cut square ass in two. And it's like, oh my God, Yukine is dead. Where is he going to get another regalia? What's going to happen to Yukine? Like, what is going on? And then come to find out, you know, it's a tie back into season one, right?
Yeah.
Where Yato is like, I will reforge you. And then they have the ablution, and then Yukine's on board. And then, like, this is that time that Yukine is like, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. And it turns out he reforges into two blades and becomes a fucking exemplar.
Yeah, a blessed vessel.
A blessed vessel for Yukine, or for Yato.
Yeah.
That was hype.
Yeah, no, it was. And then, like, just seeing all the strength he got from that, too, I was like, okay, let's go. Let's go. I'm here for it. Because he was able to stand up to her big sword. And so we got, that's basically the first part of the season two. What else did you want to touch on? Because I had some stuff, but it was towards the end. I know you had some other stuff you wanted to touch on as well. So
after we deal with that, we've got another sort of side arc. And this side arc is sort of Yato gets, I would say, extorted into working with Nora again. And, you know, he gets jumped in the middle of the night, you know, at a meeting trying to release her so that Yukine can be his only regalia. Because that's a bit, you know, there's a lot of rub there with Yukine being like, I've fucking tried to die for you. I'm like, I'm committed. But what about you? And, you know, Yata's like, all right, I feel it. I feel it. So he goes and he tries to, like, you know, break it off with Nora. But of course he gets jumped and then kidnapped and then has to go, you know, do more vigilante murder. For someone named Father. And that's the second part of this story. The second part of the season is Yato dealing with this. The final like adventure is they have to go to the underworld and save one of the other gods, save a sorcerer who winds up being one of the other gods. And then Yato can be free, right? So that's this story.
Yeah.
Which, to that, I'm going to jump in here. This season doesn't really deal with any more of Hiyori's, our main human character's, problems. Like, the whole thing is, like, she's paid Yato to help her resolve her, like, sacrifice problems. She jumped in front of the car. Now she's got a problem with her soul popping out of her body, and they got to solve that. But like this, the rest of the season doesn't deal with that. So we're off on another side plot, which is hype, but not like contributing to that main thing.
Yeah. And then you see, so for me, one of the big things were Hiyori's connection to Yato, which was really touched on a lot in the second half of season two. More so the fact that she realizes she's able to save him when he's drowning in the abyss. That is basically a whole ploy by Ebisu, which is one of the seven gods of fortune. You see that Hiyori has like a deep connection with Yato, almost, which makes the other god questions as well, like what it is, what that connection is. Because she's able to call out to him in the abyss, and she calls out to Yato. He's like, and she's like, why isn't he responding? You know, why can't he hear me? You said this is what I had to do. She goes to the special place in the hills and is like, this is how I'm supposed to get it back. Why isn't he coming back from the near shore? And they're like, or she's thinking about it, and then she's like, wait. And she looks back to the shrine that she made for him to, you know, think he was so happy when I gave him the shrine. Why can't, you know, why isn't he responding? And then she, like, and then I had to, like, research that, because it was actually, even in Japan, they have sometimes trouble with kanji, like, with different sounds. So Yato wasn't actually his name. It was, like, Yabito, because of the last kanji. Could also mean something else. And it was also, he was, like you said, he did all that murder and, like, violence killing. But he kind of did that for, or he did that under the name of Yabuto, which I believe is Yabuto. I could be saying it wrong. And that's why he was happy when they called him Yato. So she had to call him by his original name to pull him back from that abyss.
Yeah. And to that point, like, the whole importance of, like, him being given a shrine, right? So that's when we get a little bit of the backstory about Yato and about Nora. You know, he was always told that he would never have a shrine, right? That gods of his kind would never be prayed to other than by the unfortunate. And that's all he ever wanted. He only ever wanted, like, a shrine. And, you know, Hiyori goes in, she makes him like a popsicle stick shrine. And he's like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And, you know, it's hype, you know, it's hype that, you know, she cares so much about something, and, you know, we'll never know the true importance of it, but, like, she knows it is important to him. And, you know, the fact that the true name that he was trying to separate himself from, that he never told anyone, it comes into play, because you can't really ever get away from the past for good or for bad. Like, life is only ever one thing building on top of another. And when you're a god, that is hundreds of years old. You know, the past is everything you've done forever, you know. But that's, like, also the tragic part. Because when you are forgotten, everything you've ever done forever is just lost. So it was almost that way with his given name, his original name, that he tried to separate himself from, because that was the one that he did all the vile things under. But you can't change that.
Yeah, you really can't. And it's also really cool because this season, it really shows the importance of your name as well. From the regalia to the gods to everything, it shows, hey, you know, your name is important.
And that plays into with our, like, main antagonist of this season. His name slips my mind. Give me...
Ebisu?
36 seconds. No, Ebisu is not a bad guy. Ebisu is misguided, But his goals are valid, right? He simply wants to go, you know, he wants to control the phantoms so that they cannot harm the people, right? He wants to control them for the betterment of humanity. But the problem there is that he is not strong enough to do that. No, I'm thinking about Kugaha. Yeah, Kugaha, the curer, Bishamon's curer, like the doctor.
Oh, you're thinking of...
And the bells.
Yeah, you're thinking of Khufu?
Kugaha. I'm going to put this in the chat and you'll know exactly what's going on. But Kugaha has been a snake from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And part about the name is that when you're a Nora, you have more than one. And invocations where they can control you via your name don't work, right? Because that's not your only name. So that's something that comes into it. We start getting more information about the Noras. You know, the power and the greatness of them. And our Nora, you know, the one that's you know, creeping on Yato all the time, her given name is like Hero. But like that's the big thing here is like the importance of the name is crucial, which is why Ebisu can come back from, you know, being murdered by literally heaven nukes and still be
reincarnated
because he is in the memory of the people, right? So yes. The people's memory will him back into existence.
And Yato does not have that. That is why Hiyori was so important to him, because Hiyori remembers him.
Yes. And that's part of the thing we deal with, too, is that at some point she forgets about them. Like, she remembers that they were important, but she forgets who they are. Like, the role they played in her life, she recalls, but exactly who it is, she forgets. And that's the struggle of human fleetingness.
True. And, you know, it's one of those things which I really like about the series, like I said, and makes me mad that we don't have a season 3. So I'm going to spitball what I think the future of Noragami is, because there is a manga and I haven't read it. But is there anything you want to say before I start spitballing my future theories?
Nah, man, that's all I've got on big talking points. So let's shoot the shit about what we think is going to happen, or what we hope is going to happen.
So I had two theories. I felt like Hiyori could become a regalia, which you were against, which rightfully so, because that means she has to die.
Yeah.
And I don't see, I'm like, personally, in my mind, I'm like, okay, everybody has to have a romantic counterpart in shonen, because even if there's no hint of romance, there's always gonna, it's not a full story without romance, because that is the human desire, is love, food, and sleep. Change love to something else if you want. So most of the stories will incorporate some form of that. So I see that, I always thought it was Hiyori, and I don't see how Hiyori can be with Yato unless she's either stays in spirit form, which I don't see how she can do that because her body would decompose, or becomes a regalia, which would mean she would have to die at some point.
And which I think both of that, like, those are tied together. You know, there's no way for you, because in season 2 they talk about, you know, when her spirit form is trapped with what's his bucket? They are
Robo?
Like, he's talking to Bishamon's main man.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Kazuma,
that's the one.
Yeah.
When she's locked up in like the spirit cage with Kazuma, he's like, if you're away from your body for X amount of time, you're just gonna die. So I feel like both of those would be tied together. Her becoming a regalia or her being in spirit form for X amount of time. Like, she's just going to die. Which, I hope not. I hope that's not the way that plays out.
Yeah.
But you never know. We don't know. And there is more manga. But I don't know how the story shakes. So
I'm just trying to see how it'll work out, because that my what second...
Go ahead with your second theory.
Oh, my second theory was that he was going to end up with Bishamon. But like, that's a really off-brand theory.
Nah, I don't... That's more of like a respect thing. Like, I tried to murder you, but now I understand. So I'm not going to murder you anymore.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. Worst case, it's going to be a situation where it's... We know this won't work. And mutually, we're just going to both have a bad time and go on with our mortal lives.
Yeah, so I'm very interested to see how this is gonna go, because you know what I mean, like, how is, if they end up together, then how are they gonna end up together?
Yes. And I don't know, which is the worst part. So we've got the setup for season 3. Old dude that she goes to the amusement park with and, you know, runs into, he's set up to be the bad guy for season 3. So hopefully we'll get more answers then, but there's no telling when season 3 will even be animated.
Yeah. So
you're over under. Do you think it's going to get an anime season anytime soon?
I feel like there's a very strong possibility. There's a lot of love for it still. And we have enough source material, which was originally the problem, was that there wasn't enough source material. But now there's enough source material for, I would say, season 3 and even season 4. Both adapted at 12. So I'd say we have enough plus that, and it's still coming out, I think, monthly. So, yeah.
Man, I hope so, because... This was hype. This was everything y'all said it would be.
Yeah, so we'll see. I want more, for sure. And I feel like we have a good chance to get more. I want more because I want answers. And also, I need my boy Yato to get some more regalia. I feel like he...
you think he needs it?
I mean, it would be nice to see him have more regalia. But, you know, I guess that wouldn't be idea to his whole brand, but I would like to see it.
I want to see him get a real shrine.
Same.
Like that's what I want for him, you know, just like a plot of land in real life and like some wood, like make him a house that's, you know, other people can visit.
I agree. Like, I think that would be very beneficial to Yato and the series. I'm trying to, like, so I do know a few manga spoilers, so I'm trying not to, like, say those. So yeah, I'm being very selective.
I know one, but, like, it asks more questions than it does tell me, like, spoil things for me. But I, you know what? I think we've finished the anime. Now's the time to wrap it up. So if you like this product, you can catch us on all of your podcast platforms. We're talking Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Just punch this shit into Google. It'll be there. That's your typical Shonen Protagonist. Or you can catch us on our website, ytsp.org. That's .org. And on Twitters, at yourtsp. That's U-R-T-S-P. Kai, you got a Twitter too.
You can catch me at Static Dreads with a Z at the end because I'm cool. And, you know, I meant to do this at the beginning, but I want to give a shout out to Chris, who's at the gym right now. being great, and I need to get off my lazy butt and be great at the gym too. But first, I got to make sure I don't die. So yes. You got to do that first. Also, thank you to all our other podcast listeners. Tell us your names, and we'll shout you out too, of course. But right now, we don't know them. So thank you,
guys. Yeah, man, easiest way to do it. Hit us up on Twitter. We'll let you know. We'll holler at you.
Yeah, let us know if you like our content, if you don't like our content. Maybe even let us know what you want to see. And we'll see about if we can get that popping.
Which, speaking of, we've sorted out October. We haven't sorted out next week, but we sorted out October. So be prepared for Spooky Month. We're coming at you directly with 4 spooky podcasts.
We are. We've got a good lineup for you guys. We've got some... We'll just tease one of them.
I mean, of course, we've been plugging Yes, actually, yeah. We've been plugging Vampire Nights forever, but our first one is nothing but Gainax Jiggle and zombies. So I'm hyped.
Me too, man. Me too.
I'm glad you threw this one on here, but we'll get to that come October. All right, here on Your Typical Shonen Protagonist.
Bye.